Welcome to the Millennial Health Podcast. I'm Dr. Jayshree Allen, a board-certified family physician who's passionate about the health of my fellow millennials. I know we're booked and busy, but your first wealth is your health. So I'm taking some of my most important health messages and bringing them here to you on this podcast. My goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health topics, but I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. So joining us on the podcast today, we have Dr. Darcy Joseph Watkins, who I am really excited to talk to. I follow her on social media, but I actually knew about her from way back in the NYU days, believe it or not. And she worked with my mother. And so my mom would come home and tell me stories of this amazing doctor that she wanted to talk to. If you check out my Journey to Medicine podcast episode, I talk a little about how my mom really told me about all the Black doctors that she would come across while working at her hospital, which happened to be a teaching hospital. And so Dr. now Joseph Watkins is actually one of the doctors that my mom really spoke fondly of and told me all about. So Dr. Darcy Joseph Watkins, welcome to Millennial Health.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. It is truly an honor and a pleasure to be here today. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Awesome. Could you tell us a little about your journey to medicine and also your specialty of anesthesiology too? That's in the news now, especially with everything taking place with this pandemic. We're talking a lot about your specialty. So just tell us a little about yourself and how you got to this point.
Ooh, child, loaded question. Okay, let's start about where I'm from and who I am. And from there, we can go into what led me to anesthesiology. So first of all, let's just say I am a Brooklyn girl, straight out of Flatbush, Brooklyn. I'm also Haitian American. I'm first generation American in a family of wonderful Haitians. Shout out to all my Haitians out there. All right, now. And it's like I say, Namule. All right, I see you. I grew up in Brooklyn and moved to Hempstead, Long Island when I was about 13 and took off from there. So I had always envisioned myself as being a doctor. Anesthesiology kind of happened to me by accident. I'll be honest. I wanted to be a surgeon at first, orthopedic surgeon. I was very specific. I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, and that was it. Okay, and went through college still with being a doctor on the brain. I was like, gotta be a surgeon. And I think part of that was because I had met a young Black woman at a conference once who was an orthopedic surgeon, and I was in awe of her, and I was like, I'm gonna be like that, period.
Yep, mentors.
Yeah, mentors really matter. We'll get into that. And I hadn't yet seen the full breadth of the medical field. So fast forward, I went into medical school. Like I said, it was always a vision of mine. And I went to Stony Brook University School of Medicine. And I started to rotate through orthopedic surgery. And I was like, whoa, this ain't it. This is not for me. Wow, we're sawing bones. We're hammering things. We're holding limbs up in the air. My arms were so feeble. And I hadn't been doing my workouts yet. And bone chips had me all kinds of nauseous. And I said, this is crazy. I was getting hot flashes in the surgeon gowns. You know, my eyes. I was like, oh, no. And I would always peer over the drapes and look at the anesthesiologist. And one thing about me is that I knew pretty early on that I wanted to be in the OR. The OR is where all the action was happening. I'm a doer. I'm not much of a talker. You don't get that from this podcast because I talk a lot. But when it comes to work, I really just want to do, and I like instant gratification. I like to do and sort of see the effects of my labor immediately. And surgery was good for that. And since that didn't work, I started to look at anesthesiology. And what I did was started to talk to different people at Stony Brook who were anesthesiologists, shadow them, do my rotation pretty later in the game. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. I really like it. It was nice getting to be one-on-one with physiology and seeing the instant effects of what you do. And I'll be honest, as a woman, I wanted a good quality of life. That was a very big factor for me. I knew that I wanted to work hard, but I'll be honest, you know, I didn't want to be in the hospital 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One thing that's very cool about anesthesiology is that when I'm at work, I'm in it. We're in there. We're in the trenches. We're working hard. When I go home, I get to shut my phone off.
No, one of the things you mentioned too, though, with being a woman, you know, working happens outside of our quote unquote jobs or at work. You know, when we're outside of the hospitals, we're still going at it, which you certainly are for sure.
So I have a beautiful 6 month, almost 7 month old son. I'm married. I have 2 stepdaughters as well. And that can be very, very busy. I often joke and I get home, I'm like, okay, the day is over at the hospital. Here comes job number two. You know, I've got to greet my baby, play with my baby, bathe my baby, feed my baby, you know, tend to his needs. And let's not forget about the husband. You know, yes. I gotta also cook. We're both gonna starve. You know, I admit I'm the better cook in a relationship. So, you know, my better. So I'm the one that's mostly in the kitchen.
Oh, yes. Oh, so I'm just admire, and you know, I told you this before we got online. I admire the way you are. I'll caveat, there is no such thing as balance. It's a fallacy, right? You do things well when you need to do them well, and you put other things on the back burner when they need to be put on the back burner. So acknowledging that there's no such thing as balance, I can't find another word. So I think you balance being a doctor, being a wife, being a mother so well. And so that's another reason I really wanted to talk to you, because a lot of us millennials are out here trying to, you know, get on a couple of those trains and do a few of those things, do them well. You know, what advice do you have for us? Like, what have you learned along the way trying to do these things?
Ooh. So I will say, first of all, I say prayed up. I'm spiritual. And even if you're not, the best advice I'm going to say is figure out what makes you strong and lean into that. Really take a good hold of that. For me, it's God. For other people, it's talking to your ancestors. For other people, it's exercise. Whatever it is, you got to lean into that, okay? Like, I know that I strike a good balance and it looks good to other people, but I have my days too. You know, I have my days where I feel like everything is not so balanced. And it's okay to admit that and realize that even though you wear a superwoman cape, it's okay to put it down sometimes and say that I need help. It's not always peaches and roses, you know? And I try to give myself a break and remind myself very often that I'm not perfect. And it's okay to feel tired sometimes. It's okay to feel like, listen, I haven't really achieved the goal that I wanted to achieve today. You really got to cut yourself some slack. Second of all, you got to stay incredibly organized. You got to stay organized.
How do you stay organized, actually? That's one of the things I want to get into on this podcast. You know, when we offer suggestions, like what are some practical tips? Are you like a planner writing things down? Are you like a Google Calendar kind of person? Like, how can we like keep it together?
So I have to put everything down. My Apple Calendar, I guess that's what it is on your phone, whatever is linked to everything. Everything has to be written down. Or else Mama Bear is going to forget it, period. It's understood. My husband, his schedule is in the Apple Calendar. Mine is in the calendar. Anything that I'm doing for my son is in the calendar. That's just me. I set alarms for everything. Yes. You know, if we have a play date or a musical class, especially now with the quarantines, you know, I can get lost in a nap with my baby. You know, I set alarm. So I'm like, oh, time to get up, time to do this. But everything is sort of recorded. And also communication. You know, my husband and I are always communicating with each other. I'm like, okay, I want to do this. We got to get this done. This is not done. Okay, so open communication and also having a log of all the things that you need to do can really help you keep organized. I wish I had the brain power to remember all of the stuff that I need to remember for anesthesiology and stuff I need to remember for my husband and baby. I just do not possess the capacity. So it needs to be recorded, or else it's not getting done.
No, that is so important. So I love stationery. Like I like really good stationery, like planners and cards. And I'm that girl, like love, love, love that stuff. But I've found in this COVID-19 era that the world has completely gone virtual. And so all the calendar invites for the different things that we need and all the Zoom numbers and WebEx numbers attached to them, like I just couldn't keep up with my written planner because I take pride in my written planner. Like I love reading the quotes that are at the top of every week. Like I like that. I have the little stickers in the front. Love it. But that's just not cutting it in this COVID-19 era for me. So I actually went back to my phone calendar, and I'm such a creature of old habit. I have an iPhone now. I just upgraded to an iPhone, but I surely did download the Google Calendar app. And so now I have everything coming in because for like Zoom meetings and WebEx meetings and even like things like this, I can just click into the calendar and kind of click on the link to go straight into the meeting, you know? So that's one little tip I've found that's been pretty helpful in this time. Like, be flexible. If your preferred method just isn't going to cut it in the current conditions, it's okay to switch it up a little, try something new, you know, and see how that works out if it's more efficient to go about it that way.
And I think that advice just applies to surviving motherhood and all this stuff too. You got to be flexible. You want to make God laugh, make plans.
Yeah.
You know, I really try to be flexible, and sometimes fall through shoulder cracks and I'm like, all right, tomorrow's a new day, we're gonna do better. It's completely fine, you know, and especially when trying to keep organized and remembering all these things. We do live in different times. COVID-19, mm-hmm. I think, is changing the way that we do things on a day-to-day basis. So you have to be patient with yourself and also be patient with everybody else.
So speaking of COVID-19, it's the elephant in every room. So we got to talk about it just a little bit. What are some of the biggest changes that you've experienced? I didn't even get the question out. We record with Squadcast, so I'm looking at her, even though you guys are just hearing us. So what are some of the changes that you've experienced in your life, the biggest changes in your life as a result of the coronavirus?
OMG. So where do I start? You know, so one, I think, is anxiety. You know, like I've always been a very calm person, but, you know, this situation is so anxiety provoking. I'm confident in myself as a doctor, but when you see a situation where the healthcare system is completely overwhelmed and you are struggling to keep everything together at the seams, it can be very frightening. You're trying to give your best to your patients in addition to trying to minimize risk to your own family. So having a baby at home, you know, this was very scary because I didn't want to bring anything home. You know, even before we found out that kids were somewhat being affected, I was thinking to myself, it could affect children. I don't want to infect my husband. And it's a double whammy because my husband works for Costco. So he's an essential worker. So it's double the threat. I would say that that was a major deal for me, and just also not bringing that stress home. You know, you're at home, you're dealing with all this death. I pronounced more people dead during the COVID-19 pandemic than I ever have during the span of my career so far. And that was hard. That was very disheartening. I don't think anyone can get used to it. I felt very sad. There were some days where I felt very defeated, very stressed out. And I come home to this bubbly, bouncy baby. And I say, how do I not unleash all of this anxiety and sadness onto him, onto my husband? So, you know, so developing adequate coping mechanisms for tackling my own stress was huge. And that had to change from my usual coping mechanisms, right? I used to go to the gym. I used to go get a pedicure. I used to go get a manicure. I used to do all it and go to brunch with friends, maybe meet up with some girlfriends and talk about my day. Guess what? We can't do that anymore. So the biggest change for me was coping mechanisms and figuring out how am I going to deal with everything that's going on when every outlet that I've had previously has sort of been removed.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you say that. You know, I've been talking to a lot of doctors and I ask around the same questions. A conversation I had with Dr. Tala Brown, he's an emergency physician out in California now, and we talked about kind of being on the front lines. He said that very same thing, that, you know, we're going through this additional layer of stress, but our coping mechanisms aren't there, you know? And I worry about us as you know, not just physicians, but honestly, this is hitting everyone, you know, at this point in time. Everyone knows someone who's been like personally impacted. You know, these aren't just numbers on the side of CNN or on the Johns Hopkins website anymore. These are people you know, or friends who are dying.
You know, and I think the hardest part was that, you know, a lot of us on the front lines too also have family that's been affected. You know, I had an aunt pass away and I had a cousin that was intubated for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, I'm in the front line. So I was very hyper aware of the risk. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling myself, you know, I want to do my job. I want to do great. There's a whole battle for PPE as well, excuse me, and a whole obligation that I have to the patients. But at the same time, I don't want to sacrifice myself. You know, I'm like, there's got to be a way where I can do my due diligence for my patients without sacrificing my life, you know? And that was terrifying. I found myself praying more often, really connecting, really talking to my husband as well and leaning on him and family for support, hugging my son a little bit more tightly, and just really digging deep into myself. Mm-hmm. And figuring out, you know, what does Darcy have, that's my first name, do in order to keep herself balanced, you know, and being the Black woman, strong Black woman that I am, I was just like, you know what, as long as I have the sword to go into battle, I'm going to battle, but I need my sword. I'm not going into battle with a butter knife or a Sharpie.
I saw your post about that one. I saw your post.
PPE was provided, and I said, I'm going to protect myself as best as I can and give these people the care that I hope to receive. God forbid I become a patient one day, right? Because it's easy to turn a blind eye, but we too can be victims of this. And we would pray that somebody would have mercy on us to take care mm-hmm. of us. And I think that's what led me to go in. I think the second big change that I saw was also salary. I'll be honest, you know, we're at the front line, so some of us were very much affected. We have school loans that we're paying for and everything, big loans, honey. You know, we make a decent living, a good living, a lot of us, frankly, but we're also coming out with hundreds and thousands of dollars of debt. And one of the first conversations that I had to endure was, listen, your salary is being cut by X. So you're like, oh my goodness, you know, I worked this hard to get my credit looking good and to be on time with my payments and all this stuff. And this may not happen. I'm going to be set back like 5 years. You know, this is crazy. Or it was a situation where like, well, you could make money, but you have to take on more exposure and be in the ICU and all this stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I have a baby. You know, what am I going to do? So, you know, my husband and I had to have all kinds of conversations about finances and what we were able to do in order to get through this very, very tough time. And sometimes that could be a very uncomfortable situation. So all of my wants and my hopes and my dreams were sort of paused a bit. You know, I said, I went into training for this long. I was supposed to be living it up right now.
2020 vision. We were all prepared for this new decade.
My 2020 vision was to get my postpartum edges back and to buy a house. And I was supposed to snap back from this baby. Listen, like the vision was epic, honey. I wish you had seen it on my vision board, you know?
Oh, I went to Oprah's. You know, Oprah went on tour earlier this year. I was there, front and center, floor seats and everything.
My edges were supposed to be flourishing. I was supposed to lose 20 pounds. I was supposed to get a house, pay down some debt. And I was like, oh, ay caramba, this is not going to happen.
Not this year.
You know, you're stress eating, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's very eye-opening, you know, but in another respect, to put a silver lining on this, if we can, I also got extra time with my family mm-hmm. and my baby. You know, I was sort of part furloughed because I work in private practice. So now that the ICUs are slowing down, but elective cases haven't started, I kind of go into work only once or twice a week now. So 2 cases, and I have more time with my baby. And this gets me thinking about my schedule for the future and how much time I'm willing to dedicate to work and versus my child and whether I'm up for sort of a lifestyle change. Part of me doesn't want to go back to working a bazillion hours a week. And I'm like, maybe I need to be home with my family a little bit more. You know, I had a cousin who just survived COVID and he has 2 kids and he's in his 40s and that's what he's harping on, being there with his family more. And I'm like, this could have happened to me. Maybe I need to slow down a little bit. Kind of smell the roses, you know?
I have heard that before, and I'm starting to latch on to that. I'm coming up with some like Corona key phrases that I think are latching on. The first one for me was, this is not a productivity contest. It's a pandemic. So whatever you need to do to survive, please do that. As a doctor, I'd appreciate it. The second is exactly what you just spoke about. So I sat up straight in my seat for that one. You know, I think we're all mourning and grieving on some level the lives we once had. But, you know, when we get through this fire, you know, when we're not, you know, receiving a phone call that your salary is being cut, you're losing a job, a loved one is dying, you know, and you really have a little time to actually take in some of the stillness of what this is causing. Secondarily, you think about it and you're like, do I want to go back to the way things used to be? Do I actually, so moment of total honesty and transparency, you'd mentioned anxiety became an issue for you with this. You know, for me, it wasn't anxiety. It became like sadness. Just, you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, I can't go anywhere really. I go to work, you know, we're doctors, so we still have to go to work. I'm in primary care and I work in a rural setting. So I do clinic and hospital and we go on rotation. So I'm still going to work, but then I go work and I come home and I'm just like, that's it. I can't go anywhere. I can't travel, you know, 2020 goals. I had two big keynote speaking engagements booked this year that got canceled. Because of COVID. But, you know, I was looking forward to all these wonderful things, you know, like planning all these things that aren't going to happen. And I was looking at my planner and all the things I've had to cross out that aren't happening. But I looked at it and I said, was I really going to be traveling every single weekend in the month of May? Like work all week, travel the weekend, catch that little midnight flight back on Sunday, back in the hospital on Monday morning. I was like, that's not healthy. And maybe I needed some time to be able to reevaluate something like that. So that's going to be my second. The first was, you know, it's not a productivity contest, it's a pandemic. But my second is, you know, are we really trying to go back to this quote unquote normal? Someone said to me a few days ago, normal is a setting on a washing machine. It's not our life, you know? So I thought about that when you said that a while ago.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been forced to dig deep during this pandemic and really reevaluate their lives and decipher between needs and versus wants. You know, all of a sudden you're seeing all the money that you spend on eating out, all this money that you spend on these luxuries, and you're like, do I really need this? What? With that being said, I just want to clarify, I'm an extreme extrovert. I love the outside. I love brunch. I love doing fun things, you know, but there's something to be said about being just with family. You know, I love my job. I'm very aggressive at work, but I don't know. I feel like after this, I may just slow down just a little bit and just spend a little bit more time with family, nourish that part of my soul a little bit, you know.
Like that is okay. Yes. I love that you said that because I think as women too, certainly as Black women, you know, we feel this like you have to work twice as hard, you know, that kind of mentality that we've kind of been brought up with. But I just love that you've said that. Like, I'm going to slow down and nourish this other part of my soul. Like, be at home and spend time with my baby. And
not just that, I just bought a guitar. I'm going to learn how to play the guitar.
Here we go.
I said, I'm going to channel my inner Erykah Badu, her, and all these fabulous people out here. And, you know, I said, I'm more than a doctor. I think that's what I've tapped into. You know, I want to get back into my knitting, playing the guitar, and doing all these other amazing things that contribute to the essence of who I am. And I feel like I lost that a little bit, getting so wrapped up in work. And it's been so good reconnecting with that stuff. You know, there are no distractions. I'm not running off to here, there, and doing these activities. And granted, given when, like I say, when outside opens up again, we are going to reconnect with those things that we like to do. But maybe I could just hold on to some of those other things that I lost touch with, you know, and connecting again with family and friends, people I haven't spoken to in years. And, you know, it's amazing what you're able to do when you're forced to slow down.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of us would not impose this kind of quarantine on ourselves, right? So it did certainly have to come up on us. Dr. Joseph Watkins, so I have one last question for you. You know, a lot of us as millennial women, you know, are pursuing our careers, and some of us are looking forward to becoming mothers at some point in time. And you've recently done that. You've talked about your son quite a bit through our podcast here. Could you share a little that you learned in that process? You know, they say hindsight is 20/20. So for those of us who are down the line, what could you share?
All I can say is that there's no perfect time. It doesn't matter how much planning you do. I was very torn because I really loved my life pre-baby. Too, I'm a severe extrovert. Like I like to say, I like to go out. I like to brunch. I like to have a time. You know, just be free with my time. And you know, my husband and I like enjoyed each other, but you know, I really wanted a baby and really debated as to when would be a good time. So finally I jumped in and, you know, I have no regrets at all. That's my little peanut. But, you know, it changes your life significantly. And, you know, there's just no really right time. So I would say focus more on yourself, finding that partner that you feel comfortable truly having a baby with, you know, and career-wise, realize that there's no perfect time. You know, I used to tell myself, you know, I'm going to wait till after I'm done with boards and it's going to be fine. And even before having my baby, I was sort of like on the fence because I was like, wait a second, maybe I want to pay down some loans more. Maybe I want to stock up some more money in the bank. Wait, I don't have a house yet. You know, all these things, where, you know, I live in a 2-bedroom apartment right now, total transparency. You know, I'm still saving for a home and all these things. And well, I thought about it and I said, you know what? I'm ready to do this now, and I'm just going to make it work. There's always going to be that fear that you are not ready and you should be doing more before you have this kid. But I sort of had to take it back to how I grew up. And my parents did their best for me. And I said, you know what? I grew up in the struggle, and right now I'm already doing 10 times better. Mm-hmm. You know, I've already advanced myself further. I've already fulfilled like what my parents foresaw for me. And a lot of these pressures I'm putting on myself are just personal. You know, you, as long as your baby has like love, food, shelter, you're going to be all right. You know, you're going to be all right. You just got to tell yourself that sometimes. And, you know, with the baby here, you know, we're still saving, we're still manifesting and doing the things that we want to do. But, you know, it takes a lot more thinking because like there's a baby in the mix. But if you want to do it, it's going to happen. You know, but I think that for women who haven't found that person yet to have babies, also look into your options. You know, freezing your eggs is one. I do have a friend of mine who decided to go the single mother route and utilize a sperm donor, and she's very happy. She has a beautiful child. You have to sort of decide what is the best thing for you. Some people are holding out for marriage. Some people are holding out for the right partner. Some people are trying to get right within themselves. You know, the journey is so personal. For me, I can say it was more making sure that I had the right partner for me. You know, I was very concerned with having not only a great husband, but someone who I truly, truly could trust to be a good father to my child growing up. You know, I grew up in a very rocky situation, and I like to do what's called break the generational curse.
Yes.
That was very important to me, was to break the generational curse and try to do something fresh and new that could give my child, boy or girl, it's a boy, huh? The best chances of avoiding some of the pain, the hurt, and the struggle that I went through growing up. So that was my reason. But, you know, I have a best friend of mine who's an OBGYN at Winthrop. Shout out to Veronica. Mm-hmm. You know, she was a single parent for a while and went into OBGYN, and she's a kick-ass OBGYN right now, and did it as a single parent and a beautiful boy, and she's doing it and she's happy. You know, it's different for everybody. So you really have to dig deep and figure out what it is that you truly are waiting for. And you know what? I respect it. Just know your options. Ain't nothing wrong with freezing your eggs. There's nothing wrong with getting a sperm donor. I have known people to do it, and their children are beautiful and they are thriving. They're doing well. But you have to be informed about that. Educate yourself. Are you ready to be a single parent? Are you ready to take this on? And if you are, who is your tribe?
Yeah.
Who's going to lean on for support? And really, I think with the right tribe, you're capable of doing anything that's mm-hmm. right for you.
Yes. And you are actually chronicling this journey on your new series. Could you tell us a little about that so our listeners can tune in?
So since forever ago, I've always wanted to sort of tell my story. And I had a lot of insecurities about it. I said, finally, this year, 2020, as crazy and as psychotic as it is, I said, this is going to be my year. Go figure. I said, I'm going to start Dr. Mom Adventures. So I have a YouTube channel. If you just look up Dr. Mom Adventures, I come up. I basically chronicle what it's like being a mother, being an anesthesiologist, and also, frankly, a Black woman in this field. Okay, currently in my practice, I am the only female and I am the only African-American on the anesthesiology team, in addition to being a mother, in addition to being a wife. So I wanted a platform that was very raw and unfiltered. I'm not doing my face up, beating my face, you know, just highlighting and doing all of these things. It's just me, sweaty, running around, showing you what it's like, showing you what it's like to breastfeed and lose an ounce of milk on your scrubs. You know, just, you know, I really wanted to just tell my story because I feel like there are so many young women of color who are looking for guidance or just some semblance of what it would like to be for themselves. And I wanted to show people that, you know, it's not easy and it's not perfect, but we're out here doing it, you know, and I don't claim to be perfect. And some days I'm like, God, help me do better tomorrow. Today was not good.
Honestly, yeah. That's just what it is sometimes. Like, let's start over tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm on Instagram. My handle is Nerdy Bombshell. You can look on there. And of course, Dr. Mom Adventures on YouTube. And I'm often telling stories and chronicling my story. I'm just an around the way girl from Brooklyn who happens to be an anesthesiologist and be here for the kid. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. This was such an awesome conversation. Certainly looking forward to hopefully doing this again in the future. We talk about some more topics and definitely some more Dr. Mom stuff because we need to know. Hindsight is 2020, girl, so drop the knowledge. We're here to take it. Right. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Millennial Health Podcast. Though my goal is to share some valuable information and draw awareness to some important health issues, I encourage you to please consult your physician for personalized medical advice. I hope this information was beneficial to you. And if so, please subscribe to the Millennial Health Podcast and share with your friends. Please also leave us a review. If you have questions or comments, feel free to reach out on Instagram or Twitter at Dr. Jayshere, DrJayShere.